Anyone who enjoys a good Michigan wine should raise a glass in tribute to Len Olson. Without Len Olson, Michigan might well not have its 107 fully operating wineries with its 15,000 acres of grapes every year. This pioneer of Michigan's wine industry died late last year. Chris Cook is our Detroit Magazine's chief wine and restaurant critic. Chris, tell us about Len Olson and his ties to Michigan.
In 1970, he founded Tabor Hill Winery in Buchanan, which actually was the first winery post-prohibition to be licensed in Michigan. Now, there were others around there, but what's significant about Len is that in the 1960s, he started moving away from the grapes that were here, which were the French hybrids and the North American grapes, and into the vinifera grapes. Now, the vinifera grapes are all the ones we know, like Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Riesling, all the standard grapes we know today. The issue at that time was that nobody believed that you could grow those kind of grapes in Michigan because of the wonderful weather that we are enjoying these days here.
So there was like, you can't have a Michigan winter when, and these grapes, they don't go hand in hand. Huh?
Well, they didn't think they could survive.
Yeah.
And first of all, they said you'll never get the ripening time. There's not enough time of good sunshine days in Michigan weather to ripen. And Olson proved them wrong. And he planted Chardonnay and he planted Riesling and he made a wine from them. Now, they weren't at first tremendous wines that we have today. But what that did is it opened to the door to the non-believers. And I think, I don't mean to diss MSU on this, Michigan State University, but they at that time didn't believe that this could be done. But once they saw that Olson did it, they then started doing all the trial research and agricultural stuff and got behind the industry on it. And it moved from there. You know, in 1969, 1970, when Olson was doing this, Leelanau had a couple of guys that were growing little plots of grape, but they had no wineries up there. And today, as we know, Leelanau is sort of the big monster of Michigan wine. So Olson really gets a lot of credit for that.
What do you think it was that made him say, I'm going to try this?
Olson was one of those visionaries that come along every once in a while. And like a lot of visionaries, he had the drive, he had the belief, and he had the idea. And so he could take it that far. But then, for instance, his own winery wasn't financially successful. Mm-hmm. And he wound up selling it to the Upton family of Whirlpool fame, who still own it today. And he eventually moved out of Michigan, and he was gone. He was gone for, I think, 20-some years, and moved to Kentucky and went into a combination of beer and wine business. And then, lo and behold, in 2009, Len Olson reappears in Southwest Michigan, and he founded something called Baroda Founders Winery, and was there until he died in December. But he returned to where he started a lot of things. And there's a sort of a poetic thing swing to his life.
You have to wonder, what would be the perfect glass of Michigan wine with which to toast the life of Len Olson?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would say it'd have to be a Riesling because he made so many good ones. And boy, you got me stumped there. I'm going to get in trouble if I say that, but I will say Riesling or Chardonnay without question.
There you go. Chris, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Chris Cook is chief wine and restaurant critic for our Detroit Magazine.